Let's continue where we left off. We're up to Perek Mem Vav. We are up to the Tamid Shel Shachar. This is a very important section. Okay, these few psukim discuss. These few psukim discuss the Tamid Shel. Good morning, Shel Zev. Good morning. These few psukim discuss the Tamid Shel Shachar. It's a Perek Mem Vav. We're up to here. You're over here. Okay. We discuss over here the Tamid Shel Shachar, which is Pasik Yud Gimel. Okay, so this is where we're up to Pasik Perik Mem Vav, Pasik Yud Gimel. We've discussed all the various korbanos that are offered, according to Rashi at least, the Musafim, for Pesach, for Sukkos. We alluded to the korbanos of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Shavuos. In the previous pasuk, it mentions the Chagim and the Moadim. Pasuk Yud Aleph, that according to some opinions is an allusion to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Shavuos. We mentioned the Musaf of Shabbos, the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. There's really only one thing we did not touch upon, and that is the daily Karban, the Tamid Shel Shachar, and the Tamid Shel Bein Harboim. There are two lamps. So that has not yet been mentioned over here. We finally come to make mention of this in Pasuk Yud Gimel. The Keves Ben Shnaso Tamim, a Keves, a lamb, Ben Shnaso, within its first year, Tamim, Tase Oila, you shall offer as a carbon Oila, Layoim Echad, one day. Layoim Echad per day, Baboiker Ta'ase. So you shall offer this Keves every single morning, daily, Baboiker. Pasuk Yud. Now that's exactly what it says in the Torah over here. This over here, we finally have an example of something which is not a contradiction to what it says in the Torah. And then it goes on to say, Mincha Ta'ase Allah Baboiker. So here there is a contradiction, which again depends upon the different opinions that we mentioned before, between Rashi and the Stav, this special Miluim. Is this an additional mincha, or is this a reference to just a change, a change in how it will be done, the different opinions? Mincha ta'asela b'baikir, a sixth of an eifa, the shemen oil shlishis ahin, shemen a third of a hin. We'll discuss these things in a moment. We'll see over the Rashi and Mefarshim. Lorois es hasoiles. So here we have over here something unique, a new word, a new vocabulary word. Lorois means to drip. If you look in the Mitzudos Sion, I always our first stop to know the precise translation. Lorois means to ziluf unetifa. Netiva means to drip. Ziluf means when you want to settle the dust. In ancient times, when you have a dirt floor and there's dust, so you take some water and you sprinkle the water, and the water causes the dust, the moisture causes the water to settle. So here it says, Lerois, you'll take shemen, oil, that is a shlishis, a hin, a third of a hin, and you will take this oil and you will drip it, Lerois es hasoilis, in order to make the oil moist, the flour moist. By taking the oil and adding the oil to the oil, the flour is become moist. Mincha Hashem, this is Mincha Hashem, Chukos Oilam Tamid. This is a, here is something new. Did not say this in reference to the other korbanos, especially does not fit well according to those who learned that this was something that was unique. This was unique to the Miluim. Here it says Chukos Oilam. This is a law, an everlasting law, Tamid, continuously. Similarly, and this is going to be different. This is the real deal. This is going to be the actual, the real carbon tamid. Pasuk tezvav, we'll see in the first moment. Pasuk tezvav, yasu es hakeves, as a mincha, ves hashemen, baboik, baboiker. You shall offer the keves, and the mincha, and the shemen, baboiker, baboiker, daily, in the morning. Oilas tamid, and oilas tamid, this repetition. What is the purpose of the repetition? Everything is over here. It said in the previous pasuk, we need to understand why there's repetition. Okay, we're going to see in a few moments. One thing to keep in mind, which is the major topic of discussion, the major focus, the thrust of all the Mefarshim, the obvious question, why over here is there such a strong emphasis only on the Tamid Shel Shachar? What happened to the Tamid Shel Bein Harboim? Where did that go? Where did that disappear? And indeed, we'll see soon that some indeed learn that it's exactly the point of this pasuk to teach you that the Tamid Beis Hamikdash by Shlishi, there will no longer be a Tamid Shel Bein Harboim. There will only be a Tamid Shel Shachar.
Nothing will change.
What? That we had the discussion, so that's part of the discussion of how could things change. And that was all part we discussed so many times.
So the Mama explained it will be an upgrade. The Kohanim So here it's a downgrade,
right? It's a downgrade. You're taking away. Yeah, you're right. Right. So what is going on is a very, it's a very difficult point. And that's what does it capture the attention of? No, they do. They all talk about it. That's the topic of the Mepharshim. Let's see first inside piece by piece. Start passing the Gimel in the Mitzvot David. It says here in the Mitzvot David, Kevitz, you're going to offer a lamb. Gam ze yomer al meshach zman yimei hamiluim. Shemulvar hatmidim hakitzuvim yavi oid keves echad ben shana b'vachol boiker b'shvil hamiluim. Immediately, the Mitzudos David is following his shita, what he has, his approach that has been consistent from beginning to end, here at the very end, consistent, that everything we mentioned here, including this carbon tamid, this kavis that will be offered daily, is in addition to the tamid that was offered, that the Torah tells us to offer, kavis echot haseh v'aboy, kavis hakevis hashnit haseh ben harboyim. During the 190 days of the Miluim, we're going to offer an additional carbon tamid, only in the morning, and it will have its unique mincha to accompany it. Okay? Oh, so we have to understand, let's go for it. Very good, excellent. Let's see, next words of the Mitzudos.
This is something that additional means.
In additional, this is unique. This will
which
only.
The mincha is after won't have an additional.
Path. No, the mincha, no, this, we're not discussing that whatsoever. Oh. According to the Mitzudos, we are not discussing all of the psukim from beginning to end, all these two parakim. We're not discussing the korbanos of the Torah.
Oh.
It is a given that the korbanos of the Torah will be offered because nothing can change in times of Mashiach.
Yeah.
All of the korbanos listed, enumerated, are referring to additional korbanos in honor of the chinuch, the renewal, the inauguration of the Beis Hamikdash. Right. So this is something which is additional. But Dr. Friedman asked the question, but it says here at the end of the pasuk, Olas Tamid. So let's see. Let's see the next words of the Mitzudos. The next words of the Mitzudos. Start the pasuk Yud Dalid. Ta'aselav. Ala keves hanoisaf. To accompany this additional keves, Bishvil Hamiluim, you'll add oil, you'll have a special mincha. The mincha is shishis ho'efa, a sixth of an efa. Now look in the Torah, let me get a chumash. Give me 1 second.
Chumash right there.
Yeah.
Right here. So we look in the Torah in Parshas Pinchas. What does it say? The exact words. Saves b'nei Yisrael. V'yamaratolohem zehu yisheh. Esakeves echot haseh v'aboyker v'esakeves hashnit haseh ben harboyim v'asiris ho'efa, a tenth, 1/10 of an efa, soiles l'mincha bilulah b'shemen kosis, mingled with special oil, kosis, pure oil, rivi'is hahin, a quarter of a hin. What does it say over here in the pasuk? Back in pasuk yudalit u'mincha taseh l'aboyker shishis ho'efa. It says here not a tenth of an epha. It says a sixth of an epha. Okay, a lot more. I know it's at least it's not as much as what it said in the previous psukim where you brought an entire epha for the par and for the aisle. For the keves, if you remember, it was matas yodo. It was the discretion of the nasi to decide how much flour should accompany all of the kvasim. The six kvasim that was mentioned in the last psukim in the series of korbanos that we learned about before. Here, when we're dealing with the keves of the Talmud, there is no discretion. No one's being given a choice. The Navi tells you exactly what must be offered, and that is a sixth of an eifa, which is not what it says in the Torah. The Torah says that the keves of the Talmud is going to be a tenth. Next, how much oil? A rivi'is sahin. How much oil does it say over here in this pasuk? It says, v'shemen shlishis hahin. A bit more. And what is unique as well is it says, what is the oil? It says, does not say the word balul. This is a very, very, very important point. Does not say the word balul. Balul means it must be thoroughly mixed. Thoroughly mixed. The oil and the flour is thoroughly mixed. Here it says, laros. Just to moisten. To moisten the oil. Ziluf. I take the oil, I pour the oil, I let it drip, or I let it drip, or I pour it. Does not say the word mixing. Just Nitifa, dripping, or however you
dripping
want.
From where?
From the utensil. Oh. I have a utensil of oil, I just pour the oil on the flour.
Oh, I see.
Does not say that you take the oil and the flour and you mix it
mix
together.
It. Uh-huh.
Does not say that. Lorois.
Can we just compare the ratio of oil to flour for this and for the regular tumid?
So that's not my thing. Math is not my thing. The ratios over here are not my thing. In a regular carbon tumid oil, the numbers are, the flour is a tenth of an epha. The oil is a quarter of a hin. Here it's a sixth of an epha. More. Okay, it's a lot more. Okay,
yeah.
A sixth is a lot more than a tenth.
Yeah.
And the oil is a third. It says over here, v'shemen, it says shlishisayin, a third, not a fourth, a third. So you're saying what you're saying is very good, that it's less oil, l'chaira, you work out the math, it comes out there's less oil per flour.
Right.
In time of Yecheskel, yeah.
Which means that it wouldn't be thoroughly mixed.
Right. Even if you would try to mix it. Even if you say, so you're trying to say, that's why it says the word loros. In the case of the Torah, where the proportion was a tenth of an epha, which is not that much, and a quarter of a hin, which is whatever, let's say it's a significant amount of oil, then there's a lot of oil per flour.
Mm-hmm.
The ratio is significant. It's a large ratio. Therefore, there's a possibility for you to thoroughly mix the oil with the flour with the oil. But here, even though you're having more oil, okay, here we're having in this pasuk a third of a hin of oil, but relative to the flour, it's less. Because the flour here is not a tenth of an epha, it is a sixth of an epha. And when you'll do the math, it will result that the amount of oil relative to the flour is less here in Yecheskel than the amount of oil relative to the flour in the Torah. And you are saying something very fascinating, is that that's exactly why here it uses the word lorois, whereas there in the Torah it used the word bolul. Because if you have a lot of oil relative to the flour, there is a possibility to thoroughly mix together the oil and the flour. But when you have a smaller percentage of oil relative to the flour, it's not possible to thoroughly mix the oil with the flour, and therefore we have a different word called laros. Very interesting. Now remember, we have the Gemara always mentioned this probably 1,000 times, kol haroy lebila, ein bila makeves. V'chol she'enoy roy lebila, bila makeves. Do you have to actually mix the flour with the oil? Every time a person brings a mincha, so l'chatchil, the flour is supposed to be thoroughly mixed. And let's say a person is lazy, he does not mix, he just takes the oil, pours the oil in the flour, does not mix it. Is the mincha kosher? And the answer is always yes. Yes. It does not have to be actually mixed, there has to be potential that it could be mixed. But you don't have to actually do it. Now, the Lamai Nafkin Mina, Nafkin Mina talks about various types of minochos, where the amount of oil, different types of situations, I don't remember, not only in the case of Menachos, dealing in Shas, it's a klal in Shas, in many types of situations where if you do not do something, it's okay, but there must be potential for it to be done. Do not come to the conclusion that if the Torah does not demand that something be done, we can do away with it entirely. No such thing. Even though the Torah does not always demand that something must be done, at the very least, the situation must be such that there is potential for that thing to be done. And that's exactly the concept. Call it roi lebila, ein bila makev, call shein roi lebila, okay, so what does go over here is the word lorois. Lorois does not mean to mix. In the Torah, when it talks about the mincha, it says the word balul, to thoroughly mix. Here it does not say the word lorois, here it says the word balul, here it says the word lorois, and as Rav Nachol pointed out, that seemingly is because here the ratio of oil to flour is less than the ratio of oil to flour in the Torah. So in the Torah there was much more oil, there was a possibility for there to be balul. But here, where the oil is much less, maybe ein achinami, there is no possibility for it to be balul. And here, that would result in a tremendous chiddush. And an awesome chiddush is that if you're going to learn like Rashi, that this indeed is the tamid shel shachar, the regular carbon tamid, and the amount of oil is less, the ratio is less than this is less, maybe there was no potential. Here is an exception to the rule.
Significant difference.
Here it's taka, it's not royal labila. And the bila, it's also not ma'akif. And the pasuk tells you that explicitly with the word laros, just to moisturize it, to moisten it, does not have to actually be mingled. Okay, let's continue. Pasuk Yidal Mitzudos. Let's just finish up. We'll go through it again. Tasalav. Ala keves hanoisav v'shvil hamiluim l'roi tzolos. Lizaleif ula hashkois bayes tzolos to wetten. To sprinkle and to wetten the tzolos. Liyos ratuv mimenu should be wetten. Minchal Hashem b'tzor lemar. Zeh ye minchal Hashem b'lvad minchas atamid b'nitzko l'betorah. The Mitzudos, he keeps on emphasizing this point many, many times. This is in addition to the Karbanos of the Torah, Chukos Oilam Tamid. So this is the hard expression. As Dr. Fried mentioned over here, this does not fit with the Mitzudos' approach. If this only a one-time deal, why then does it say Chukos Oilam, Chubuchul Mikros Shel Acharav, Loimar, Al Tachshavu Shevavur Ha'olav Yamincha Hazos, Yechtilu V'lahakiv HaTamid Yamincha V'Hashem V'Amuska B'Torah, Ki Chukos Oilam Tamid Yasu Esakeves. Fascinating how he really changes the pshat in the pasuk. Now he says that the end of pasuk yudalit does not belong in pasuk yudalit. Okay, Yishol Zev, this is actually your question. You see, in pasuk yudal, the last three words, chukois oilam tamid, should really be the beginning of pasuk tesvav. We finish the special miluim minchol Hashem, and now we tell you, we're now done. We're all done. After this pasuk design begins a whole new topic. Okay, begins a whole new topic of discussion, and we're just winding down the last pasuk of the Kurbanos. And it says everything that we've mentioned here in these last two parakim, this unique Kurbanos, this is all in honor of the inauguration of the Bayis Shlishi in the 190 days. But don't forget, this is besides the regular, the Karbanos that are listed and discussed and taught in the Torah, which those are unchangeable. Those are Chukois Oilam Tamid Yasu Esa Keves. That's the Keves referring to the Tamid Shal Shachar, V'Esa Mincha, V'Esa Shemen, Baboiker Oilas Tamid. Don't forget that you have regular Karbanos, the regular Karbanos, which is the Astiris Waifa, and the Shemen that has the Bolul, which is a Shlishi Sahin, and that's offered Baboiker Oilas Tamid. So again, it's doing something very unique. You have this every so often, where we take words that are part of a previous Pasuk, and we very liberally take those words, and we append it to another Pasuk. Okay, it's a bit extreme. It's a bit extreme in how you break up sukkim. We have a Messiah. The Messiah tells us where the pasuk ends. According to this interpretation, the pasuk shown in the previous pasuk, and the trub should be different. However, this is how he understands. Otherwise, the Mitzudos.
But the Malbim.
I know everyone's one thing at a time. Everyone has a different approach. Ayin panim l'tayra. That's why having the Kuros Kedolos. There are no two commentators that see things in the same light. Obviously. Okay. Let's see Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk, going back to Pasuk. Oh, sorry, we're not finished yet. The Mitzvah Pasuk Tezvav. Next Pasuk, Babaiker. Pasuk Tezvav, or Pasuk. Bechol Baiker Yakov, Vihi Oilas Tamil, Mibli Hefsik, Uchoimer, Hine, Beshvil Hamilum, Yosif Uzem, Avlo Yigru, Mimash, Amra Hatara. As he just explained, that was really what he said in the previous Pasuk, just a continuation of what he said before. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi going back to Pasuk Yud Gimel. The Keves Ben Shnosai. Rashi Lishitasai. Rashi consistently says that every single Pasuk here must conform to what it says in the Torah. All the Psukim we learned the last few days are all referring to the Musafim. And Rashi bent backwards. Not only Rashi. Rashi really, we learned, was taken from a Gemara Masechta Menachos. And he explained that the Pasuk can be understood, even though the numbers are different, in reference to the Talmid Shel, in reference to the Musafim. He's going to do the same thing now. but he has to do some somersaults to really fit in these psukim into the Tamid Shal Shachar of the Torah. Oilas HaTamid, Pasik Yudalid, Shishis Ha'ifa. Now how in the world do you get Shishis Ha'ifa from what it says in the Torah that it should be a tenth of an Eifa? So he says over here, Yerushalm, first of all he says Yerushalmis. This is a different measurement. The Shishis Ha'ifa is the measurement in Yerushalayim. Now we know that the Bezdin were also, they also served as the secretary of the treasury.
Okay.
Pasuk Yudalit. Perik Memvav, Rashi. Perik Memvav, Pasuk Yudalit, Rashi. Shishis Ha'ifa. You don't have that? Different. Okay. So we have to remember that Moshe Rabbeinu was in the Midbar. And over here, and a lot of time has passed since the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Sanhedrin were able to manipulate the economy by changing the measurements, adding value, or changing the size of the coins and of the different measurements. And it's exactly what it says over here: Shishis Ha'ifa Yerushalmis. This measure of a sixth of an eifa is in the measurements of Yerushalayim, which was not the original. The original was in the Medina, in the Midbar was a fifth less, and the fifth you have to calculate, is it a fifth from the inside, from the outside, is it really a sixth, whatever it means. Shichoyme shel Midbaris, which is an additional fifth from the Midbar. In the Midbar it would be called a fifth of an Eifa, and now it's going to be called the sixth. Shehi, let's just read the words, a little bit confusing. Vehein shnei esroinim, and here we're dealing with two esroinim. So he says over here, when it says over here a sixth of an Eifa, which is Yerushalmius, which really is a fifth, which is a fifth Shalmid Boris, vehein shnei esroinim, and that's two tenths. Okay, so a fifth.
Yeah.
A fifth is going to be two tenths. How do you get two tenths? The Torah only says one tenth. Ho'echad l'minchas ha'tamid ve'echad l'chavitin. Ah, who the chavitin? The Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol every day brought a tenth of an eifah. He divided it into two parts. Half was offered in the morning, half in the afternoon. Similar to the tamid. Tamid shal shachar and tamid shal ben arbayim. Even though it was broken up into different parts, maybe Hubabake Sarn Shalem, Vichait Saves. So this is a Lamdas Shavar. This is the Sugim Sech de Menachas. The Lamdas of the Chavitin is not the Pshat. It's not like the Tamid. The Chavitin is like the Tamid you bring in the morning and the afternoon. It's completely separate. They are completely separate. The Chavitin is not separate. It's really one carbon. It's one carbon, the carbon Kohen Gadol offers in the morning. It just so happens he does not put it on the Mizbech until later in the day. He takes half goes on in the morning, and the other half goes on in the afternoon. So it's one is a tenth of an Eifa, that's the carbon. And you just happen to offer half in the morning. V'chotzeyu k'moy sheshaninu b'menachos. Period. Okay, so here what has he done? He has done over here, Rashi, as you see over here, Rashi over here has really done something, has snuck in something very, very bizarre in front of our eyes. Rashi says there is no stira. When it says over here in the Pasuk that the Talmud Shal Shachar, we're dealing with the Talmud Shal Shachar of the Torah, a Parshas Pinchas, and the Keves is good. That at least is good. You don't have to scramble to figure out the steer and the animals. The animals, there's one Keves for the Talmud Shal Shachar, but for the Mincha that accompanies the Keves, we got a problem. The Torah says a tenth of an Eifa, and here it says a sixth of an Eifa. No problem. First of all, a sixth is really equivalent to a fifth, because they changed the measurements. They made what used to be called a fifth, Chazal made it smaller. In other words, it's like you buy tissues. It used to be that you pay a box of tissues, let's say it costs $3, and how?
Bigger.
What? Do that? Then they charge $5 for. So let's say you buy. Right? No, they made it smaller. They made it a sixth. They charge. It's the same price. They're charging the same price, but they're giving you less. They're giving them. What used to be a tenth. Well, yeah, is now a twelfth. Right, it's a sixth. What used to be a fifth. You now for the say you pay, let's say $5 to get. You used to get a fifth. Now for that same $5, you're only getting a sixth. Is that what it seems to say?
Yeah.
they're giving it more value.
I was reading it that it's the same amount. It's just it's now we changed the measurements.
But the changing the measurements, when it's getting smaller, you're getting more to it. But then they wouldn't say.
If something is a fifth, it used to be a sixth, and something's a fifth now, so you're getting.
But it says here in the pasuk a sixth shisha so'efa, and this is in Yerushalayim, and that was later, and in the midbar it was called a fifth. So if we went from a fifth to a sixth, we're going down in volume.
No, it's the same.
It's the same volume.
It's the same. It's just called. It's just relative to a larger unit.
It's relative to a larger unit.
If a fifth equals a sixth, then it's the same volume.
What is changing, though?
The main eifa? The eifa.
No, but we learned before that never changes. The eifa is a given.
He's introducing a Yerushalmi.
Yerushalayim, they stimulated the economy. How did they stimulate the economy? They gave more value to commodities. Until now, gasoline cost $2 a gallon. Now they said for a gallon, gasoline costs $3 a gallon. So it's the same gallon of gasoline, it's just they're charging you more money.
Right.
They're charging you more money.
Okay.
So you used to pay, so how do you do in this way? Would you used to pay $5 for a fifth? Now you're going to pay $5 for a sixth.
That's not your example of the gallon. It's not a
that's the other way around. That's the other way around. I just threw that in my mind. It's the other way around. Okay, I don't know. You know what? I don't know. This to me, my mind just doesn't connect with numbers. Just somehow, not my thing. I always struggled from elementary school all the way through college. Never did well with numbers. I used to have a tutor. I used to have, in college. I paid a lot of money. Calculus. Calculus was torture. Mamish torture. And then I had a choice. You take Calc 1, Calc 2, and then you take either Calc 3 or statistics. No way I was not going to take Calc 3. No way. Oh, my dead body.
You take like a pizza party.
Yeah.
I think that is your the previous you got 5 stars, you got 6 stars. Pizza pie is not changing size. You're getting more slices.
Exactly. The AFA is not changing size. The AFA is not changing. The question is, but the pizza pie is not changing size. The question is, are you going to slice it and how many slices are you going to cut into?
And how much are you going to charge?
How much are you going to charge? So, how much are you going to charge? Fine. But the pizza pie is not. So, the AFA never changes. The AFA never, that is a given. That is a standard size. The question is, how are you going to divide the AFA and how much are you going to charge? Okay, whatever it is, let's just leave it very, very simplistic. Over here we have a contradiction. Let's just look at the Chiddush. Look at the major Chiddush what Rashi is doing. Even if you don't understand the numbers, you don't need to know the numbers. The concepts are very clear here. Okay, we don't need to know the numbers. Look at the concept. Over here we have a problem. The problem is, it says in the Torah, when you bring the Talmud Shel Shachar, you offer a tenth of an AFA. A tenth of an eifa is what will be offered to a company of a flour will accompany the keves of Talmud Shel Shachar. In this pasuk it says, there's a keves. Rashi is learning, it is the same keves of the Torah. But instead of offering a tenth of an eifa, instead of offering a tenth of an eifa, we're going to offer a sixth of an eifa. Something doesn't make sense. Why are you offering a sixth of an eifa, which is a lot more than offering a tenth of an eifa?
Uh-huh.
Okay? There's something that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So Rashi comes to the rescue. First, Rashi says when it says here a sixth really is exactly the same thing as the Torah's fifth, a fifth of the Torah. The Torah says that if the Torah would want, when the Torah it says here, offer a sixth of an eifa, it's as if the Torah said, offer a fifth of an eifa. Okay, fine. Still, we got a problem. We have a stira. Because here it says, a fifth of an eifa, and the Torah says a tenth of an eifa. Now, a fifth is double of a tenth. It's double.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if it's double, we still got a problem. So Rashi to the rescue. We're coming to combine here two tenths. Tenth number one is for the Talmud Shel Shachar, and tenth number two is for And tenth number two is for the minchas chavitin. Now minchas chavitin man dekar shemei. Whoever mentioned minchas chavitin here? What's going on over here? Who snuck that in over here? So Rashi obviously is really troubled. What's going on here in these psukim? And Rashi is very desperate. And Rashi will do anything. Rashi will sell his mother to make sure. Okay, sorry. Take it back. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to wake you up. Chas v'shalom. Just making some jokes here. Chas v'shalom.
That's such a gosh expression.
Yes. Okay, right. A very chashu person told me that his mother always used to think he's a Dodgers fan. And it's very chashu Talmud Chacham. And he told me his mother always told him, you would sell your mother for the Dodgers. it still echoes in his mind. The Musa. So here we have over here a fifth. A fifth is two times one tenth. What's going on? So Rashi says, don't be alarmed. There's one tenth for the Talmid Shel Shachar, and there's another tenth that's offered every single day. I guess what Rashi means to say is there is another Talmid. What is the only other Talmid that is offered every single day in the Beis HaMikdash besides other Talmid of Mincha, other Talmid of a Mincha that is offered every single day in the Beis HaMikdash? There's only one, the Minchas Chavitin. So therefore Rashi says it's fair game to assume that when it says here the Talmid, we're dealing with the Talmid, Talmid Shel Shachar, there's also the Minchas Chavitin, which is Talmid, that also is exactly one tenth. Then Rashi says it's not a tenth, it's only a twentieth. Because you offer only half of it in the morning and half of it in the afternoon. No, that's not a kasha, because the truth is you offer the entire thing in the morning. You offer the entire thing in the morning, and then you don't put it on the mizbeach until later in the day. So therefore, Rashi has succeeded, in his opinion, in saving this pasuk. This pasuk, the last pasuk of the section, is that we are dealing with the korbanos of the Torah, the Talmid Shel Shachar, and there is no inconsistencies. Not like the Mitsudos, who's always said that these korbanos are special, unique korbanos called miluim, in addition to what is offered every single day. So let's see what he was about.
There's no mention of the Talmud Shulbeinah.
No mention, according to everyone. That's what he says.
According to the Mitsudos, it's a separate korban, so it has nothing to do with it.
Right, according to the Mitsudos, separate korban, exactly. But according to Rashi, exactly. The question is much more difficult according to Rashi. But on the other hand, we don't mention explicitly the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and we don't mention over Shavuos. And Rashi alluded to it, it says over, but also when it comes to the Musafim, it only doesn't mention every single animal. There are a lot of things. There are a lot of other things that are left out. So, what about the Shtei Halechem and the Omer? Those also Korbanos. Okay, so things are being left out. Why do we focus only on these? That is really a very big kasha. It is a kasha. So one more time, the words of Rashi. The pasuk down over here, when it says Shish Oifa, do not be alarmed. It's Yerushalmis. Shehi Choymesh Shel Midbaris. Okay, whatever the numbers mean, it means that that's never a problem. That there was always a fluctuation. There was a difference between the Midbar and the Yerushalayim later on by a six. How you want to break that up in value? They make it smaller, bigger. I don't know. But the numbers, you can always go from a sixth to a fifth, back and forth. So that's fine. So what is that? What is the fifth? The fifth is two times a tenth. Vehein shnei esroinim, two times a tenth. Oh, but the Torah only says one tenth. No problem. One tenth for the Talmid, one tenth for the Minchas Chavitin. Vehein shnei esroinim, ho'echad leminchas ha-Talmid, ho'echad lechavitin. V'yafal pi shechavitin kerevim lachatzoyin. You're going to ask me that it's not so. It's really a 20th. Because you only offer in the morning a half, not a problem. Maybe you'll break your Yisar and Sholem and Chaytseyu. K'mo Yishashoninu, like you're going to Masech the Menachas. Okay, next. Lorois es Sasoiles. Unique. Now, here Rashi is going to be in Sira Rabbi Chol. It's not going to answer your kasha anymore. You gave a brilliant interpretation, Rabbi Chol, of why it says here the word Lorois, whereas in Parshas Pinchas it says Balul. So according to the Rabbi Chol, because there's a lot more oil relative to the flour, there was more oil. It was only a tenth of an epha, and you're using a quarter of a hin. So a quarter of a hin to a tenth of an epha is significant. So there is a possibility for the oil to be thoroughly mixed. But here, there is a, take it literally, not like what Rashi did, there's a sixth of an epha. So that is almost double, not mamish double, but almost double. And the oil is not that much more. It's only instead of the oil here is not that much. Only a third of a hin instead of a fourth. So there is more oil, but even though there is more oil, the amount of oil is still going to be, the ratio is still going to be less than the Torah. So, and it's not possible for there to be enoch nami. The amount of mingling, of mixing, is not the same. That is why the pasuk here was careful to select the word laros, because laros does not mean to mix. It means to moisten the flour. But according to Rashi, who learns, good morning, but according to Rashi, who learns, that it's exactly the same, there is no difference whatsoever. It's the numbers work out exactly. So why here does it say the word laros? And there,
he's using both.
Okay, so let's see what it says over here. So Rashi, that's what Rashi came to explain. That's exactly the point. So first of all, what's the French word?
There are two of them. The first one, asperge, which by the way is the same as Asperger's, means to moisten. Okay? And then he goes on to use a second word where he's seen, amele, which means to mix.
To mix.
Mele, okay. People mix it.
So then now Rashi seems to go and disagree because of this question. Rashi appears to disagree with the Metsudos Tavit.
Well, I'm saying he's hedging his bet.
Right. He's saying it means thoroughly mix. There is no difference. It's just another word which means exactly the same thing. Laroi sasolis lichates means to break up, it means little teeny particles, to pulverize. The livlol, boye sasolis, lishon risus, they will smash, the enemy will smash this bayis, the Beis HaMikdash, into teeny little pieces. Risisim. Uloshon Mishnah, im hoyo ovef, it was thick, oy merusas, or it was broken into teeny little pieces.
It's interesting, Rashi doesn't quote from Chumash. You also find a similar Marech Asha,
yeah, by the testicles.
Yeah, that's crushed. It says also the same
lashon. Ma'uch. It says rasus. It says the word rasus. It could be again.
Uncle
says the word rasus. Right,
you know,
Uncle.
Yeah.
The word rasus. Very good. Okay.
Have to look it up.
Okay. So obviously Rashi.
He's happy with the language of the Mishnah, as we'll see here.
So what's very interesting though is Rashi. You say just the opposite. Maybe according to Rashi, Rashi gets the impression that the word laros is even a greater degree of mixing than balul. Mamash mi kotza la kotza. Yes, what it says lechates v'livlol b'yasasoylas. It sounds like the word lechates, that's a very powerful word. Lechates means to pulverize. Belila just means to mix. Don't get too excited. Don't break out in a sweat when you do a belila. You just stir it. The word, according to Rashi, it seems Rashi is saying it's even thoroughly mixed to a higher degree.
Yeah.
Rashi seems to say that the time of the Bayis Shlishi, when you're going to bring the Tamar Shal Shachar, not only are you going to mix it, you're going to have what are they called? You can bring one of those machines, a special machine they used to mix it, whatever they're called. You're going to... What?
A bash?
You're going to mix it really, really well. Okay, you're going to mix it really, really well. The time of the Beis HaMikdash, then the previous, we had a principle called a royal labila, ain bila makaves. You don't have to mix it so well, just make sure there's potential. Over here, the pasuk is emphasized when it comes to time of the Mashiach. No. You got to mix it really, really well, lorois. And that's inconsistent with everything else Rashi taught us before, because Rashi, the entire section, always telling us, bidiyavetz. You don't have to be perfect. If you can't get 7 animals, 6 is good, 5 is good, 1 is good. Here, the word laros is a word that's even more powerful, seemingly, it seems to apply, than what it says in the Torah. When it comes to the mixing, that has to be done 100%. So the Targum says Pasuk Tezvav.
Which means to mix.
Let me see the Targum. Pasuk. Le'orava, to mix. And how does it? What's the targum? The targum in Chumash, balul. Let's see what it says here in Chumash.
What do you have to crush?
Not to crush. It's an expression. It means to thoroughly mix. I mean, it has a connotation of thoroughness. Over here, In Chumash, it says the word balul, hey, it says kisisha. Okay? Kisisha in Echanami. It says the translation of balul, it means. I made a mistake. B'shemen, that's b'shemen kosis, dipila. The word is dipila. Dipila, I guess, means to mix. I never heard that word before. The Targum in Pinchas for the word bilula translates dipila. Pila means to mix, obviously. Here, the Targum, it's a different Targum. This is Targum Yonason. He says here, li'orava. Okay. But here in Chumash it says Shemen. There's another difference is here it says Shemen Kosis. Nowhere does it say everything that we've learned Shemen Kosis. What happened to the Kosis? Kosis Lamanachos V'loi Kosis La'ar. Right, that's the whole halacha. You do not need a Kosis. The quality of oil that is needed for the menorah is not the same quality for the Menachos. The menachos requires a higher quality of oil. Kosis l'menachos, v'loy kosis l'or. Is that what it says?
Yeah,
shemen,
yeah.
Right. So here it says b'shemen kosis, and that's why Chanukah. Why in Chanukah we have the inyan of hidur, of mahadrin, mahadrin mina mahadrin, is because they were machmir. Even though the Torah did not demand that the menorah be lit with shemen kosis, they were machmir. They actually lit the menorah with shemen kosis. But notice here in the time of Mashiach, and we mentioned the soilas and all these psukim, we never had the word kosis. It never said the oil should be kosis, just oil, shemen. And here in Chumash, it keeps on saying the word shemen kosis. So obviously, there are a lot of differences which we're not getting.
Besides that, you can also explain, this is talking about the Chumash, why is it shlishis ahim?
Well, only the oil. Right. Rashi never explained the oil. Very good. Right. Totally forgot about that. So Rashi only comes to explain the flour.
You mean it's usually revia?
It's a revia sign in the fair. So therefore, what happened over to the flour? How could Rashi leave that out? Excellent. I do not know. Rashi himself told us, or who's Rashi, that a lot of the answers, the contradictions, we resolved. Rashi quoted that if not for Chizkia ben Goroin, Sefer Yechezkel would have put in Geniza, and it's only because of his diligence he was able to resolve all of the contradictions. But most of the contradictions have been lost from us. We only have just a few of the many difficulties have been resolved, but many of them have not been resolved. We have emuna that they have been resolved. We have just yet to remember, or someone has to figure out their answer. Alright, let's see. Okay, that ends the Rashi over here. Maybe we just jump a little bit. Look at the Malbim. Just over here. The Malbim. Okay, there's not much Malbim over here, but let's just run through very quickly. Malbim, Pasuk Gidal, Mincha Tasalav, Shisha Sheifa, Zeshazesh, Mincha Sakeves, Bime Hachinuch, Kanicht of Lael. The Malbim is Lashitasai. The Malbim learns that over here, everything over here is referring to a special set of kabbanis that are going to be offered during the miluim. The shemen shlishis ahin hagam shlofi acheshman hoyelo elohavi shishis ahin ki acheshman hu hin lo eifa. According to the calculation, exactly, that's what you asked. That's exactly your question. Over here, he has the hin.
He's saying it's proportional,
bro. The hin shagam lofi acheshman hoyelo elohavi shishis ahin. Ki acheshben he who hin is proportional eifa, then the meila should be the shisha hin l'shisha so eifa. In this pasuk, then the oil is not consistent. Be'er sheyel l'royz sasolus l'rachava b'shemen harbe. Double in this pasuk, we want it to be to soften it with a lot of oil. So you also
l'royz is even worse now. L'royz is something that you could really mix. It's almost
really
liquidity.
Thoroughly. So here it's like you're going to drench it. It's going to be thoroughly drenched in oil. So you see three different opinions, it seems. What it means, l'royz, it means to drench. It just means it's the same thing you did before. It just means to mix well. Or like the mitsudois that says it just means to wetten, to moisten. Three different approaches, because according to the Malmi, he's pointed over here, that it's going to be an enormous amount of oil. The amount of oil is really double to what it should be. And therefore, it means to drench it. Mincha Lashem Chukai Salam Tamid, which is a Loyma Kol Masha Beyarti Adhena, who rak the Mitzvah Samincha Sachinoch, who rak the Shal Loy Loylam, Avul Chutz Mize Yavi Esamincha Hamiyuches Lashem. Okay, besides everything over here, you have to, don't forget to offer. This is exactly what the Mitzudos David said. The Malm, though, was not so generous in breaking up the Pasik with Chukai Salam. Mincha Yimichas Lashem Asher Hi Chukas. So he really does. He Chukas Olam Tamid. Sheyavi Minchas Tamidin. You should bring the Minchas Tamidin. Where's the Malm go? Baboiker Kihilchasay. Okay. Now before we go further, we just have to mention. Okay, I didn't. Mitzudos the Malm does not mention. What about the Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim? And that you don't have in your edition.
That's right.
Okay, you don't have in your edition. I have over here in my edition this fantastic commentator called the Mincha Gedoyla. And he here, and he discusses this. He discusses. I'll just read to you just a few words of what he says. He says over here, the Amrei Yakeves Ben Shnasai Tamim Tasa Oilu Layom Tamid. Okay, I'm just jumping ahead. The Shaloi Zohar Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim. What happened? How come it does not make any mention of the Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim? Shemoyresh Shaloi Yosel Osel Ela Oilasa Boiker. And according to these commentators, and he actually quotes the Radak.
Yes.
Okay, the Radak was before probably. Okay, we skipped over it. Okay, actually, if you go back, Pasuk Yud Gimel. If you want to go back to Pasuk, read the Radak. It's just a short Radak, Pasuk Yud Gimel. The Keves Ben Shnaso Tamim V'Zeu Kavanat Tamim Shaisim B'Chol Yom Kamo Sha'amar V'Toyra Es HaKeves Chod Aser V'Yikev V'Mincha Eina Kamo Shanitzko V'Toyra Hineye B'Ze Chidush La'asid. Okay, you have middle ground Radak here is saying not like the Mitzudos, not like Rashi. Again, the Mitzudos says this carbon is something that's totally unique, no connection to past times, it's the Miluim. Rashi says this is exactly what's found in the Torah. Radak is taking a middle approach. This is the Tamid Shel Shachar of the Torah, but there are going to be new things, Chidushim. They're going to be chidushim la halacha that will take place in the time of Mashiach. How does that fit with the words of the Rambam? I don't know. But that's what the Radak says. It is going to be chidush le'osid. The karbon ho'erev, what else will be a chidush? Look at this, the Radak. Lo zohar. Nire. Shocking thing. It's a shocking statement from the Radak. Shelo ya'asu le'osid ela oila saboiker. Okay, these words are incredible, incredibly shocking words, and this is quoted. This idea, not listen to Radak, I think others said this as well. This idea is quoted when you hear about Svarim that talk about the Bayis Shlishi, what's going to be, times of Mashiach. So one of the most fundamental korbanos that we offer every single day is a Tamid Shel Shachar, Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim. And in fact, it's the only korban the Torah tells us twice in Parashas Tetzaveh, at the building of the Mishkan, in the sixth Aliyah. Esakeves echot haseh v'aboyker v'esakeves hasheni taseh ben harboyim. I mean, it's so fundamental to bring the Tamid Shel Shachar, Tamid Shel Ben Harboyim. Why do we daven mincha keneged Yitzchak and the second time is keneged the Tamid Shel Ben Harboyim? And the Radak comes along and it tells us that when Mashiach comes, you can say goodbye to the Tamid Shel Ben Harboyim. So does that mean we're not going to daven mincha? Is that what it means? In the times of Mashiach, you can make that argument, definitely. If the Iker time why we daven mincha is because of the Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim, and that L'choir is the Iker. It's not only because of Yitzchak. There are two reasons the Gemara gives why we daven mincha. Avraham, Yitzchak and Yaakov, or Tamid Shel Shachar, Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim, and the Aktaras Emurim, on the Mizbeach at night. The limbs continue to burn the entire evening. So when Mashiach comes, according to Radak, there's no longer going to be a Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim. So that by therefore you can come to the conclusion that when Mashiach comes, no longer will we daven mincha. Isn't that a shocking thing to say? And that's come out. What he says over here. So the mincha gedolah.
Besides for the Gemara,
Shachris, of course, you have to daven. That's a, for sure. You have to daven. What person not going to daven? You have to daven to Hashem every single day.
Why we should daven at all? Because
we davening
in the
zeichel carbon. No, not zeichel carbon. You have to also daven. Yeah, the carbon is being offered, but you have to connect to the carbon. The way the common man connects, the carbon is being offered by kohanim in the Beis Hamikdash. Only one person, only one kohen is occupied bringing the carbon. You have to connect. The way you connect is you daven. You have to daven. In fact, Chazal said they were mamodos. Every 24 weeks, you had to come to the base. You are on duty. You are on call to come for an entire week, and fast 4 days a week, and daven the whole day, that Hashem should mekabel the korbanah. So even if you're not on call, but you have to daven shacharis and mincha, ma'ariv, here he says this awesome chiddush, which has captured the attention of a lot of the mefarshim. Now, this parish called the Mincha Gedolah, in my edition, he quotes the Radak, and he goes on to say over here something very, very, very harsh. He's just quoting here word for word the Radak. Period. That end quote enters the Mincha Gedolah. V'zehu be'emes da'as nifsad. This is nonsense. The Mincha Gedolah.
Who's
a commentator in the Mikrois Gedolos. I really don't know. I'm embarrassed to tell you. I don't know. I'm sure here in the front of the sefer we have over here Al Eile Hosafnu. Okay, we have over here back of the sefer. In the Sharblat of the article, he tells you all the commentators. Mincha Gedoyla, L'Rabbi Moshe Frankfurt, B'Mikrois Gedoylos Kihilos Moshe, Amsterdam, Tof Pei Zayin.
Oh.
Okay, so that's already 300 years ago.
Wow.
Okay, more than about 300 years ago. A little more. Late Achrayim. Whatever, middle Achrayim. So this is already 300 years ago, a parish called the Mincha Gedoyla. From Frankfurt, okay, that's where he lived.
Amsterdam, no?
Did you say Amsterdam? I'm sorry. It was printed the first time. It was printed the first time he lived. His name was Frankfurt. You're right. I don't know where. I do not know where he lived. Maybe he lived in Spain. I don't know. Does not say where he lived. All it says that his name was Frankfurt.
Couldn't have lived in Spain.
What?
Couldn't have lived in Spain.
Why not?
He was kicked out by then.
By then, it's true. Okay, good point.
And second, okay. Frankfurt is a German name.
I know, but his name, just because his name is Frankfurt, does not necessarily mean that's where he was living. Okay, you're right. Okay.
St. Thomas Radak.
Radak was earlier.
Oh, much earlier.
Radak was earlier. So he's coming over here. Radak was a Rishon. So here in Aachen is coming to disagree with the Rishon, to insult the Rishon. Isn't that shocking? Today we'll be putting Chayrim. Don't pass go. Today, if someone would do something like this, they would right away say, you have no respect for the Kadmonim, you're in Chayrim, and then you will be a millionaire because your Sfarim will sell out in a second. The best way to sell a Sefer is to make sure that it's put in Chayrim. Then it's sold out before you can blink. That's a fact. The Rabbanim do people a very good favor when they put a Sefer in Chayrim. Then they make money. But the truth has been proven is only in the short run. Only in the short run is it sold out, but in the long run, the cherim does more damage. Any event, he says, "V'zeh b'yem es das nifsad." V'lo, here has very harsh words for the Radak. V'lo tia imkein toras Hashem u'mitzvosecha nitzchiyos v'kayamos lo'ad. Is the Radak coming to suggest that the mitzvahs of Hashem are not nitzchiyim? They're not eternal. Is that what the Radak is saying? How could the Radak say such a thing? The Rambam, the Ani Malin, Shaloi Teh Atara Zos Mukhlefes. V'tipol ho'ikor. And the ikor should fall away. The Torah that is the ikor should just disappear. Sh'atara lo tonut v'lo tishtaneh chas v'shalom. The Torah will not change. It will not deviate. Avol amitas hadavah hu kamo shebdifo. That is his rejection of the Radak. And he goes on to say the true perish of the words of this pasuk are shloi diber hanavi kan mehatmidim shetziv sahatar aleihem ella meyakovin sheasu b'chol yoyim meoisam yimei hamiluim. So the Mincha Gedolah subscribes to the opinion of the Mitzudos David that this tamid, this carbon over here, is unique. It is an addition to the tamidim of the regular tamidim. It's part of the miluim and will only be offered for 190 days. Okay, so this is what he goes on to say, and other mefarshim as well. Again, I don't have it here in front of me. I have to really go to mefarshim, but it's really fantastic, a really fantastic insight into what's going to be this idea. At least to keep in mind, why would there not be? You have to think about it. What kind of alumnus would there be? Why there should not be a tamid shel bein harabayim in the times of Mashiach? And if you want to say drush, you can say it would be because the Bein Harbayim represents evening, darkness, golus. The world, Shachar, is always represents Geula. In the afternoon, when the sun sets, that's not a good time. That's a time of golus. Now, darkness is the golus itself, but the truth is the worst time of golus is the beginning. The end is not so bad because the dawn, it's darkest before it gets light. And in the middle, you're able to somehow you're able to deal with it, you're accustomed to it. But when the transition from day to night, that's a very frightening time. You're living in times of Geula. At the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, can you imagine the horror, the terror? What went through their minds? Here they have a Beis HaMikdash. The Shechina is leaving. It's being destroyed. The terror, the horror of going from a time of day to a time of night is very painful. So the times of Mashiach, we're not going to suffer that. That experience of going from day to night, it's not going to happen. Those days are over. Only good days are here. The day, the yom is here, where it represents the yom. It's no longer necessary to dwell upon that moment. There's no longer a tamid shalbein har boyim. Okay, that's a drush, but that doesn't resolve the answer of the mincha gedolah's harsh words. The Torah is nitzchius, and nothing that it says in the Torah is going to change one iota. How can the Radak make such a suggestion that there will not be a tamid shalbein har boyim in the times of Moshiach? Okay, let's go to on. Now let's begin this. Listen, a minute. We'll begin the next section.
I don't think the Radak someone tampered with the Radak.
Not likely. Not likely. We would know about it. Okay, Pasik Teza. Now we get a new section. Pasik Teza.
Is it Radak? Nobody answers it.
And not that I didn't look all that much, but on the page, that's all I have.
Exactly what he was doing.
Well, the Radak is a lot of chidushim throughout Tanakh. Right? Throughout Tanakh, the Radak says shocking things. I mean, they're all, and the Malbim doesn't. The Malbim is totally off the charts. The Malbim, he takes the task Rashi. He rips apart Rashi sometimes, and Ramban, and Barbanel. He goes on to say wild things sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I mean. And he's an Acher, and he's probably it's like the same time probably as the, maybe it was a little before the Menachem
Gedolah. He was very, very great people.
The Malbim is the 1800s.
Yeah, Malbim was very recent.
I'm sorry, I said the Barbanel. I'm sorry. The Barbanel. So the Barbanel was 1492. He was part of the expulsion. He was a victim of the Spanish expulsion. So, what?
If you read the
it
says Kav Me'er L'Noizoch.
It's the treasury. Tamid Shalbein
Harbayim.
Marv you wouldn't make either.
No. Why do we? Marv is the Haktaras Emurim. Anyway, it's a Rishus. But it's Kineged. No, that's Tamid Shalbein Harbayim. What it means? It means the Tamid Shalbein Harbayim. That's what it means. So if you learn, why do we daven Ma'ariv? We daven because during Ma'ariv, we offer on the Mizbech, you continue to burn on the Mizbech the Emurim from the Korbanos that were offered by day. That's not going to change. That's not because any carbon that was offered by day will continue to burn at night. Even the Tamish al-Shachar. If the Tamish al-Shachar did not burn quickly, it was a slow go. So the meat of the Tamid Shel Shachar can continue to burn on the Mizbech at night. And certainly all of the other Korbanos that were offered by by people who came to the Beis HaMikdash, they continue to burn on the Mizbech at night. Ma'ariv corresponds to the burning of the fats and the limbs on the Mizbech at night. So that does not change. The only thing that does change is not going to be the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim. Okay, let's start one pasuk of the next section, Koyam Hashem. So it says, Koyam Hashem Elokim ki yitein anasi matano le'ish mi bonav. When the Nasi, when he gives a matana, le'ish mi banav, nachalasa hi lebanav, tiyeh, it shall be a nachla to his children, achuzasam hi benachla. Now, what exactly does that mean? Look at the mitzudos, a hard idea. Pasik tes vav, ki yitain, imitin a Nasi b'chayav, ma minachalasa le'echa mi banav, nachalasa hi, ke'oimer. He has the power to give whatever he wants. He has the power to give a gift, to give one child more than another. Why? He So if he wants to give over his assets to his children before he dies, he has the right to do so. The Melech HaMashiach has the right to, in other words, do not make a mistake and think that the assets of the Melech HaMashiach are not his. They are on loan. Like Mishulchan Govoa Kozochu. We learned in the previous parak that the Nasi receives a massive chunk of land. The 13th section inside, there are 13 sections of land inside of the Yerushalayim, inside Eretz Yisrael, and one section, it was the section where the Beis HaMikdash was, that was 3,000 amas by 3,000 amas, that was 3,000, konim by 3,000 konim, was one section, which we worked out to make a calculation, whatever, I don't remember whatever it was a very large area, and then we gave the remainder, the chunk of land, on the left and on the right, was given exclusively to the Nasi. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that it's let's say Havel Elif Alfi Avdolos? The President of the United States does not own the White House. He's just an occupant. He's just a guest. He's a guest. He lives there. He represents it. It's not his property. The property belongs to the taxpayers. Taxpayers own the White House. It's not there. So he has no right to say, you know what, I'm going to sell, and who wants to buy the front lawn? I'll sell you the desk. I'll sell you the Oval Office. I'll sell you this. You're not the Balabas. You're just a guest here. That's the way. So therefore, the Melech, the Nasi, knew it's not his land. It's not his land. The Torah gave the Nasi land. Why? So he shall parnasa. He shall parnasa his children so that he should not be corrupt. He should not demand taxes from the people, and the government should not become corrupt. So the Navi gave him this section of land. It's not yours. You're just a guest. If you're only a guest, you have no right to decide, I want this child, he should have 20%. I want this child to have 50%. You have no right to do that. When you die, it goes down, Birusha, to the children equally.
What about Bachar?
Also, maybe not. Very good point. That's a very good question. So maybe if you hold that it's not really his assets, really it is the property of Hashem, and he is just a caretaker, and then when he dies, it goes to his children, because the Torah says that the Malchus goes Birusha, so the assets also go Birusha, but it's not necessarily going to go Birusha midin private assets. The only time you have an idea of Pishnayim, and not women do not inherit, is only when you're dealing with assets that you own. But if you do not own the assets, like maybe if you go, you tell maybe the milk don't own the assets, and maybe in Echnami does not go down to Yerusha. Komash was exactly what this pasuk has come to teach you. That's not the case. The Torah gave the Melech the White House. It's his. If he wants to put it up on eBay, he can do it. And Zillow, he can do it. He wants
to. Says Bono. I don't know. Can he sell it to a third party?
If he can give it to his children, it's insane. Who would do such a thing? The halacha is you're not letting him take away the Yerusha from your children, even from a bad son.
Right.
So I don't know. Maybe you're right. I don't know. But that's what he says. He says it's his. You can paint it black if you want.
The Rambam points out very good.
Yeah.
Does anyone know about Zosar goes back in Yovel?
If he were to sell it then to someone else, so then it would go back to Yerusha. He has the right to buy it back for the first 2 years. It's a walled city. That's what it's teaching you, that he actually owns the property. And this goes back, we discussed this week. What kind of society does the Torah promote? A capitalist society? What kind of economic system? Socialism? Well, the Torah very clearly, it's a very fundamental principle. The Torah very clearly allows a human being to own something. There's no question about it. Everything in the Torah is you own property, and if you steal, there's geneva, gazela, v'chulu, there's ribis, there's lending money. It's clear as day in the Torah that a human being owns. It's my property. That knocks out probably half of the economic systems that exist in the world today. Right? In Russia, in communism, there's no longer communism, but let's say in North Korea. Is there such a thing that a human being owns something? Does it exist such a concept? In a lot of economic systems of the world, there's no such thing. You don't own nothing. Whatever you have, what?
Kibbutz versus Moshav.
Okay, I don't know. Israel is really a socialist. It's not really. It's not a capitalist society. 100%. It's a mix. It was really established as socialist.
Yeah.
Today it's changed a bit.
I buy your ancestral property. According to Torah, from Yovel, it goes back to you.
Exactly, it goes back.
I don't know if I buy it. If I buy it, I'm like
So you're trying to say is you see that it's not 100% your ownership.
But the ancestral party does own it.
The ancestral part, right?
I buy it from the
But the ancestral guy owns it. But the ancestral guy does own it.
Yeah, enough money. But
somebody owns it.
I know, but if I'm buying it from him,
so you can't sell it. But somebody owns it.
The guy who was it going to?
Okay, so this is the basic idea. It's telling you that no, the Melech actually owns it. We take this for granted, but when you go study what's going on in the world, especially before the 21st century, it wasn't so simple, such a concept where a human being actually owns anything. The Torah says it's true, and when it comes to government, does the government own anything? Do the people in government, do they own their own homes? Do they own their assets? The melech owns his property. My nafgamina, the part of kihitna nasi matana leishmi b'naviyuz matana to one of his children, nachalosahi lebanat, that's right. The children get to keep whatever he gives to his children. The children now become the owner, the legal owner, to the point where the father, the melech, has no right to say, I want to enter. The child will say to the father, you're trespassing. It's not your property anymore. You sold it to me. It's no longer your property. He can give it away. Because why? The last three words, the pastor come to explain, because achuzasamhi benachala. Because the assets of the Torah, the Navi has given the Melech times of Mashiach, is their property. He actually owns it. And therefore he can do with it whatever he wants. This is going to be in contrast to Yerushalayim. There's a big machlokes in the Gemara, is Yerushalayim in the time of the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, or at least the Bayis Rishon, was it privately owned? So according to one opinion, it was divided between Yehuda and Binyamin, and the boundary fell along the Mizbeach. And other opinion in the Gemara says, no such thing. Yerushalayim is not privately owned. It's owned by the Tzibur. Lamai nafkamina, when you oil the regel, you don't have to pay rent. I'm oil the regel, I come to King David Hotel, and the Renaissance, whatever hotel you want to go to, and you stay there, and they give you a bill. I'm sorry, what kind of bill? What kind of nonsense? What kind of nonsense is this? You give me a bill for a suite? What kind of nonsense is this? This is my property. This land is just as much my land as it's your land. What kind of crazy nonsense is this? You go give the bill right back to them. You pay me?
It's ironic that they're having that problem in Israel right now, in Yerushalayim right now.
What do you
People
mean?
People are buying property, buying apartments. Turns out that it was not originally owned by the guy that they bought it off. It was owned by the church or something. Mm-hmm. They're having that same exact problem right now.
Who's the legal owner? So can the Balabais go take the person to court and demand payment? It's Machlokes in the Gemara. If you learn that Yerushalayim was nischalcha l'shvat in between Yehuda and Binyamin, it was given to human beings to actually own. It was actually your property. Therefore, whoever now is occupying or living in that house, it's yours. You have a right to charge rent for the guests who come early regal. But if it's not, the Nechanami, they have no legal right. The Gemara says, it's nimus, it's proper derech eretz, that you should pay rent to the person who is your host. That is an absolute... That is correct. You must do that, and that is derech eretz. And maybe even Bezdin will actually, pressure you to do so. But they cannot force you. If you want to be an ingrate, and you don't want to stay in the hotel and don't want to pay the bill, they can't force you. You're not a good person. They're not going to give you an aliyah. They'll put you in cherim, but they cannot actually go into your bank account and seize your assets to pay the bill, because it's not nischalka l'shvatim. Everyone agrees that when Mashiach will come and the Eretz is going to be redivided, it's not going to be owned by anyone. Yerushalayim is going to be public property. Okay. Therefore, if it's public property, so you would think in that same strip on the left and the right is the assets of the Melech HaMashiach, because only in the center is there going to be 3,000 kanim by 3,000 kanim. That massive section, but everything to the left of that big box is going to belong to the Melech and on both sides. So you would say the same way Yerushalayim itself is not owned by any one person, the assets of the Melech, the property of the Melech, is also not owned by him. It's just he is the one who is the caretaker for the assets of the Melech, which is the property of Klal Yisrael. No! we're coming to reject that notion. It's achuzasam hi benachala. Ad kedei kach, he can make decisions. He can decide where it goes to, and that probably is a very big benefit, because we all know that many times the privatization, what's called when you privatize something, it's much more efficient. It's much more efficient. Karida de be a pat. They should say, when it's not my property, what do I care? If I don't own the shul, if I don't own this yeshiva, so what do I care? I don't care if the floors are clean. I care about the salaries. I care about the... Is anyway not mine? Anyway, what do I get out of this? I have just a couple more years until I retire, and I'm gone. I have nothing. But if it's my property, and I'm going to be able to give it to my children, I'm going to be able to give it to my whoever I so choose, and I will be able to live on in this property. It's private property. That's a whole different league. That creates a whole different attitude, an attitude towards your property. On the other hand, it also breeds corruption, right? When something is private and you're dealing with something that's private that is serving the tzibur, that is the perfect recipe for corruption. No doubt about it. There's a balance. Where do you draw the line? So here it says that the property indeed belongs to the melech, and therefore, obviously, if it's a private property, there's an advantage that the king will take a personal interest in these assets. Okay, that's all. There's no Rashi on this. So we'll leave tomorrow. We'll start par tomorrow. Pasuk Yud Zayin.
If the Nasi is the Kohen Gadol,
yeah, the Machlokes.
Yeah, then how does
he get his children?
Oh, so the, yeah.
So maybe this property does go Birusha. This is different.
So when the next coin is appointed, what does he get?
Yeah, I don't know. Right. So I don't know. Mm.
The only real royalty that really exists today is in the UK. Right, the UK in England?
Yeah.
I think that's really the last monarchy. I think they own Windsor Castle.
The king owns it.
I think that's theirs. That's their home. I don't know. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think that. I'm not sure. It's a Buckingham Palace. You could maybe, you know, part of the government. I'm not sure about it. But I think Windsor Castle, I think it's Windsor, I think it's adopted their home. And they probably have a home up in Scotland also. And
very interesting.
Remind me, was it when you start talking about Hanukkah?
What?
When you start learning?
It's too early. All the speakers next week are talking about Hanukkah, for sure. When I come back, I'll talk about Hanukkah.
You're coming back the first day of Hanukkah.
I think we will pay
the way. Haftesh and Lama.
We're in the middle of.
What are we in the middle of? Haftesh?
It was a while ago.
That's
not the
shul that I go to. I go to shul. You have to go to Kafkas.
Kafkas also?
We have to look for Zion. Well, too much. Maybe put Lama back. We only Lama back.
That's
Lama. Lama back. Let's start with Chav Zion. Chav Zion.
This is Chav Tesh.
Chav Ches. I'm looking for Zion and Chav Ches. Let's do Chav Zion. Here's Chav Ches. Chav Zion.
Can we separate them out?
No. Zion. Zion.
My brother.
I'm going to be staying with my brother. Chief.
I tell my brother you're going to be in Beit Shemesh?
Beit Shemesh Gimel.
He's in normal Beit Shemesh.
Who? Your brother. Yeah. He's an Aleph.
Normal.
Well, Gimel is also normal. Beis is what you're referring to. Beis is what my brother used to live in Beis. He moved from Beis to Gimel.
Is it abnormal over there?
It's not abnormal. They're not abnormal. There are only a few people that make it into the news. Okay, they're not. I'm not joking.